Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Like we started sharing at midweek, it was a tremendous time in Miami last week, seeing brothers and sisters from all over the world and hearing good news about what God is doing in all of our congregations. Amen. I don't know about you. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I am looking forward to getting to heaven. Heaven is going to be a wonderful place. This world, you can take it. You can have it. Left to me, I said, Jesus, come back this afternoon. Let's do it. Let's get it over with. This world has got nothing I want and I desire. All this stuff's going to pass away, the Bible teaches. Amen? And it's always so encouraging to hear what God is doing all over the world. To realize that there's going to be a lot of Chinese people in heaven. I mean, think about that one day. And you and I are going to be able to communicate with them. They're going to be Africans in heaven. And you're going to be able to communicate with them. There are going to be lots of people from Australia in heaven. And you're going to be able to communicate with them. There will be a lot of Europeans in heaven. Amen? And in a lot of ways, earth, the church here now is just a little taste of what heaven is going to be like. I don't know how you felt when we're singing all around and dancing and moving. Sitting there, standing there with your hands folded. Come on, man, you need to loosen up. There's a time to be still and there's a time to move. Amen? Amen? It's going to be incredible. Heaven is going to blow our minds. I mean, think about what the music and the singing is going to be like. You know, when you read about heaven in Revelation, it's a loud place. First of all, we know there are a lot of kids going to be there. And you know kids are loud. We try and keep them quiet. There's going to be tons of them over there. So they're making some noise. The adults are there making some noise. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be glorifying God and worshiping God for eternity. That's what it's all about. Amen? Well, you see, this morning I want to talk to us about winning Gwinnett for Jesus. Let me try that again. Just in case you didn't hear me. Or just in case you can't read what's on the screen. I want us to talk about winning Gwinnett County for Jesus Christ in this lifetime. I can guarantee you, you're going to be very convicted by this message by the time we're done. I'm a preacher, in case you haven't noticed. And part of my job, like we talked about last week, is to correct, rebuke, and encourage. Amen? There are a lot of great things that we're doing as a church. And I praise God for that. But there are some things we're not doing too well, and we need to improve in. Amen? And we need to grow in. And so, I believe we need to talk about winning Gwinnett for Jesus. You know, one of the things we talked about in Miami was our 2020 vision. In other words, what we would like God to do in our churches and in our congregations in the next 10 years, by the year 2020. Amen? Again, there's no guarantee you're going to be here by the year 2020. Okay, let me just put that out there. There's no guarantee I'm going to be around by 2020. I could be gone today. You could be gone this week. Okay? Your bags had better be packed. I hope they are. Mine are. But amen, if we're here in 2020, praise Jesus. Amen? You see, there are 6.8 billion people on the face of this earth. That's a lot of people. 6.8 billion. That's with a B. You say, wow, that's a lot of people to convert. And that's why I'm excited that, you know, we got brothers and sisters all over this world also doing what we're doing. Amen? God has not asked us to go save China. There are disciples in China making disciples of their own people. At this point in time, God has placed you and I in this county. Amen? It's not by accident. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17 that the God who made this world does not live in temples built by men. But he created every one of us and determined the times and the places for us to live. Why? So that men would seek him and perhaps find him, because he's not far from each one of us. Amen? You and I are here right now for a reason. And in case you didn't know, the fastest growing religion right now on the face of the earth is Islam. It's the fastest growing religion. Islam. Now, I don't know about you. Oh, we're serving the same God. We're just doing it in a different way. Every road leads to heaven. A total nonsense. Rubbish. Thank you, my brother. Garbage. Allah is not Jehovah. Buddha is not Jehovah. They're two different gods. If you don't have conviction about that, you need to go get conviction about that one first. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except by me. We didn't write that. We didn't come up with that. That's what our Jesus said. Amen? I'm going to live by that and I'm going to die on it. In Mark chapter 1, sorry, Matthew 9, is that what I said? Yeah, Matthew 9. In Matthew chapter 9, you know the verse I'm about to refer to? In verse 35. It says, Jesus went through all the towns. Notice, it says all, not some of them, all of them. All the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. It says he went through every town and every village. He didn't miss one. That's amazing. He went through every place preaching the good news of the kingdom. What is the good news of the kingdom? The good news of the kingdom is that there is a God who is king. Are you with me? That he sent his son into this world to die for our sins. And because of Jesus, we have forgiveness through his blood. And you and I become a part of this kingdom that will never end. It's our souls that go into it. And even when you and I die, your soul continues in that kingdom forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's what the good news is all about, amen? That's exciting to me. The good news is not the economy getting better. Okay, I got news for you. The good news is when, it's not when the job, you know, the unemployment rate goes down. If that happens, praise God. You see, some of us, we're waiting for the economy to get better and think, oh, that's going to be good news. You got it all backwards. The kingdom of God has got nothing to do with the economy. Amen? Good news, that's what we've got. And we've got to share it. We got to proclaim it. Look in Mark chapter 1. Again, you know this, you know the passages. You know, I just want to remind us this morning. Because I think it's very easy to forget what you're a part of. In Mark chapter 1, in verse 35. You know, Jesus had spent the night healing people. Very early in the morning, Verse 35, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went up to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everybody is looking for you." Jesus replied, watch this. "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Amen? Jesus says, you know what? I need to go somewhere else. That's why I came down from heaven. It's to preach the good news. It's to call people to repent and to turn back to God. Are you ready? God did not put you on this earth to get married. I got news for you. That's not why God created us. God didn't create us so that we can raise kids. Praise God for family. Praise God for wife and husband. Praise God for kids. God put you on this earth to proclaim the message of his son. That's why we're here. Amen? You see, unfortunately, the Bible also teaches us that if we're not careful, the worries of this life and the distractions of this life choke out our Christianity. You go study out the parable of the sower sometime. Have you become sunny soil? Or are you and I going to become good soil? You know, it's amazing to me. I'm very encouraged that Jesus accomplished his mission. He came into this world and he did it. And then he turned around and says, "Disciples, now you go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe." But you go read it in Mark 16. He's talking to the apostles. When he says, "And these signs will accompany them." Remember, the signs and wonders was to confirm the message. That was the purpose of it. Amen? But it says, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." That's not something we came up with in this church. That's the Bible. Many years ago, when I realized I hadn't done that, I was like, "Hey, I need to repent. I need to get baptized for the forgiveness of my sins. This ain't rocket science." That's the message that you and I need to get out there and preach. Again, when we read the Bible, when we look at our brothers and sisters in the first century, they did it. They took the gospel to their generation. Church, in case you didn't know, go study your church history. It hasn't been done ever since. In terms of the message being taken to one generation in one lifetime. The first century Christians were the last ones who did it. Here we are in the 21st century. It hasn't been done since. The question is, what are we going to do? I don't know about you. I didn't give up my opportunity to make money in this life and be a lawyer so that I can just come to church on Sunday. I was doing that before I became a Christian. You and I gave all of our lives up so that we can help other people get to know God. Amen? That's what it means to be a disciple. Disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. In Mark chapter 1, you know the passage. Jesus says, "Come follow me and I will make you fishes of men." He says at once, those guys, they dropped their nets and they followed him. I think we're afraid sometimes to call people to what the Bible teaches. Oh, he's busy. I know he's busy. He needs to make God number one. You and I cannot shy away from that. Oh, I don't know if they're open. Yes, they are open. The Bible says the harvest is plentiful. Let me ask you something, church. Is God lying? No. He's telling the truth. Satan says the harvest is not plentiful. That's the liar. But you see, the harvest is plentiful. But it says the workers are few. We need to become workers. Gwinnett County, our mission field. It was created in 1818 by state legislation. Gwinnett County is 437 square miles. I don't know about you, that's huge. It is one of America's fastest growing counties in the last 20 years. I'm sure you knew that. It is the second most populated county in Georgia. Do you know who number one is? Fulton County. We're number two. With a population of almost 1 million people. You see, people say, when are we going to start a church? When are we going to send people out on mission? I'm supposed to go to Rome that has 200,000 people in it? When we got 800 right here? I mean, come on. You do the math. This is our mission field. Why should we send a bunch of Christians to Rome, Georgia? Don't get me wrong. People in Rome need to get saved. Okay? It's farther north. Prayerfully, Athens will take care of that. But we got over 800 people in this county. Why should I go after 200,000 when I got 800,000 right here? It doesn't make sense to me. This is my mission field. This is my 2020 vision. It hasn't changed. Amen? I mean, this is cool. Gwinnett County Public Schools is the largest school system in Georgia and in the Southeast United States. That means there's a lot of families here. A lot of kids. 18 municipalities and 4 unincorporated areas. It's huge. I'm sure you get in your car sometimes, you're driving to somebody's house, and it takes you 35 minutes to get there. I mean, that's a long way. And you're still in the same county. It's like a little Texas. Texas, man, you start from one end and you're going for 12 hours and you're still in Texas. And it's not beautiful either. It's all barren. There's nothing. These are our municipalities. Auburn, Berkeley Lake, Braselton, Beaufort, Decatur, Duluth, Grayson, Lawrenceville, Lilburn, Loganville, Norcross, Rest Haven, Snellville, Sugar Hill, Suwanee, Houston, Stone Mountain, and Tucker. Now, some of these places border other counties. In other words, there's a part of it that's in some other county. But that's okay. But people are there. You say, where are these 800,000 people? Right here. The reason why it doesn't seem that big is because we're so spread out. But they're there. Some of you sit in that traffic. Going to work and coming back. You know what I'm talking about. Isn't it always amazing during the week, you know, when you're going to work? It's like, where do these people come from? And then Sunday mornings, when they're sleeping, when they're meant to be at church worshiping God, the roads are free. All these people need to be converted. Such that Sunday morning, there's traffic. Going to church and worshiping God. I mean, think about it. There's traffic going to work. Work that's not going to last. But there's no traffic going to church. You see, again, in this world, we got it backwards. I'm not saying people shouldn't go to work. But I'm just saying, there's a lot of people here. Here are the unincorporated areas. In other words, they're not municipalities in themselves, but there are areas and people live in them. Centerville, Five Forks, Mountain Park, Peachtree Corners. People live in all these places. They're not considered cities or municipalities. At least they haven't done that yet. Chances are they're going to get there. But that's a lot of people. Amen? You know, I saw a clip in Miami as we were getting ready to start the conference. They had this huge screen. I mean, humongous. And they had things flashing. And even before we sang the first song, I'm already getting convicted. And this is one of the quotes I saw up there that I thought was really cool. It says, God had only one son, and he made that son a missionary. Wow. Think about it. That was said by David Livingstone. He was a Protestant minister to Africa. He says, God had only one son, and he made that son a missionary. It was an accident. You see, the question is, are we going to be missionaries? Next time somebody asks you, hey, who are you? What do you do? Tell them, I'm a missionary. Oh, really? What country? Right here in Gwinnett? I tell people that. And it's not because I quote unquote have been to a foreign field. What are you? I'm a missionary. Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, at one point, yeah, I was in Africa, but now I'm here. I'm still a missionary. Amen? You see, a lot of times we think missionary means I got to go to a foreign place. How many of you live in Berkeley Lake? Can I see a show of hands? Wow, nobody. Okay. You see, missionary to Berkeley Lake. You catch my drift? How many of you live in Auburn? Ooh, nobody. Okay, you see what's going on here? I'm not going to ask you about Lawrenceville. I know you live in Lawrenceville. I'm not going to ask you about Lilburn. I know that's where you live. How many of you live in Houston? Houston. Not Houston. Houston. Okay? The point is, brothers and sisters, we need to have Christians in all these places. We need to have members of this congregation in all these places. Here's what I foresee, okay? Let me tell you what I'm thinking, what my vision is. Here we are trying to, quote unquote, purchase our first church building, okay? And you need to continue to pray, amen? Amen. And God will make it happen. And if God says no to that one, there's going to be something else. That does not bother me. Believe me, I'm not losing any sleep over this stuff. But here we are. Actually, it's just down the road, by the way. What I foresee, if you count up, there's 22 municipalities. Can you imagine if we have a church facility in the middle of two of these cities? That would be 11 all around. That way people don't have to drive 35 minutes to get to church. Does that make sense? When we have disciples in Auburn and in Berkeley Lake, we'll put a church right there. How's that church going to start? We're going to convert those people. And they will become the church. And they will start growing and converting their neighbors. Amen? You say, well, Richard, don't we need to have one big service? Yeah, we'll figure that one out when we get there. I don't know where we would meet, but I promise you we'll find somewhere. Amen? But I want you to open your eyes and see the fields. The Bible says they are ripe for harvest. Amen? Here's another quote I saw. It says, the church must send or the church will end. You know, the Great Commission is repeated in all four Gospels in some fashion or the other. And you and I know that people's last words are very important. Jesus says, you know what? You will be my witnesses in Acts chapter 1. In Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Amen? A church that is not focused on its mission dies. I shared this with the brothers. We got this in Miami. Every participant got one. And it's a prayer calendar. And what it is starting October 1st, we already started, there's the name of cities and countries all over this world. And all the leaders, starting a few days ago, till December 31st of 2011, we're going to be praying every day for these cities. Oh, I got fired up. Even before we sang the first song, when I saw this. You see, this is what I like. This is what I love to talk about. Anything to do with God, oh, then you got my attention. This is what's going to get the job done. You know, the Bible teaches that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Atlanta is in here somewhere. I think it was May 17th, somewhere next year. Yeah, May 17th. Atlanta and Auburn. But I promise you, I'm not going to wait till May 17th next year before I continue to pray for our city or our county. You understand what I'm saying? You see, when we're all praying together, when we're walking towards the same thing, God starts moving. Amen? And so here's what we're going to do as a church. I already put the order in to the printers. We're going to give every single person a bookmark. Okay? For your Bible, for your notebook, whatever. And it's going to have on it every single one of those cities that I just talked about in Gwinnett County. 1 through 22. And I want us to start praying for those places. For God to lead us to men and women who are going to become Christians in those places. For God to raise up leaders. For God to raise up elders. For God to raise up deacons. We're going to do it together as a church. And I promise you, God will answer our prayers. Amen? Amen? And so, it doesn't matter to me what you want to do. If you want to take, you know, on the first of every month, that's when you pray for Auburn, that's up to you. On the second, you want to pray for Berkeley Lake, that's up to you. But I'm going to give us that list as a bookmark. Everybody's going to get one. I already made the order. I was hoping they were going to do it for me yesterday, but you know how things are. I said, no problem. It's okay. But the moment we get them, we'll give them out. Because I want us to be praying collectively as a church. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. You know, the battle we're fighting is an enormous one. We don't have the power to get this done, church. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, look at what it says. It says, the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith, and watch this, and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. All this false teaching that's out there, all these false prophets, we're going to talk some more about those guys. There are a lot of things, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. There's a lot of things that Satan is teaching out there. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Okay? It says, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Are you going to sit there and watch people go to hell in a handbasket every day and do nothing? I couldn't do it. I'm sorry. I can't do it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Same idea. 2 Timothy 3 says, but mark this, verse 1. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without control, without love, unforgiven, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. We're living in the last days, church. These are terrible times. I was so encouraged yesterday. A young man got married. I knew his parents way back in Boston. As a matter of fact, I was asked to go into on the mission team in his mom and dad's living room back in 1989. Matthew Weber got married yesterday. Young man that graduated from the University of Georgia. Some of you teens know him. Worked at the camp. And he married a sister called Veronique. And they decided in their dating relationship that they were not even going to kiss each other until they said, I do. Nobody asked him to. I remember several months ago when his mom and dad were talking to me about, you know, the day they wanted to get married and trying to get the whole family together, and they were trying to get him to move it back, and he wouldn't listen. And so I called him up. You know me, I don't mess around. I said, Matt, we need to talk. I said, you need to consider your family in this. And he goes, you know, Richard, you know, we can't even kiss. You know, we need to get this thing done quickly so that I can kiss. I said, Matt. I said, Matt, you got the rest of your life. You got to consider your family so that they all want to come. And it was awesome yesterday. The whole family was there from all parts of the country. You know, his father preached the message. Did a great job of it. And, you know, they got to the vows. And Darrell Robinson, who leads the church in Clemson, you know, did the vows. And he's teasing them, just drawing it out. And Matt was, come on, let's get on with it. I've been waiting a long time for this. And finally, you know, they were pronounced husband and wife. You know, now you may kiss your bride. It was beautiful. Matt is one in a million. This world is messed up. People sleeping with each other before they get married. People of the same sex wanting to get married. This is what this world has come to. God created man and woman, the Bible says. This world is messed up. What are we going to do? Just sit back and just pretend everything's going to be okay? No! We got to preach the word. We got to share the good news. Amen? That's what it's all about. It's going to take two things, church. It's going to take lots of prayer and lots of sacrifice. That's what it's going to take. Okay? I want to challenge every member of this church. This week, go find somebody and study the Bible with them. You heard me? I'm going to repeat myself. Find somebody this week and go open up the Bible. Don't say, hey, can we study? No. If you ask, they're going to wiggle out. Hey, Joe, you got a minute? Yeah, open up the Bible. I'm going to show you something. Richard sent you. Do it that way. I promise you, it's going to work. You got a minute? Yeah. Open up the Bible. I want to show you something. Amen? Find somebody this week to study the Bible with. Okay, church, let's be honest. Okay, I know it's past time, but I got something to say this morning. So, don't worry about lunch. Lunch ain't going anywhere. Okay? If we want to be honest, we would admit that, you know what? Sometimes we're fearful to talk to other people about God. Some of us are intimidated by white people. Oh, I'm going there. Some of us are intimidated by white people. Some of us are intimidated by black people. Some of us are intimidated by Asian-looking people. Some of us are intimidated by Latin people. God created everybody. We shouldn't be afraid. John, stand up. This is John Becker. Okay? John is white.
He's gonna go there.
He thinks he's black, though. Because he grew up in New York City. I'm not intimidated by John. He's bigger than I am. I think I'm better looking than he is, but we're not going to go there.
Show hands.
But what am I going to be intimidated by? He's just a human being. Have a seat. There's nothing intimidated by. Juan Carlos, stand up. This is JC. He's originally from Mexico. I'm not intimidated by him. Se habla español, but I'm not intimidated. I don't speak any Spanish. But Spanish people need to hear the gospel too. You got to go beyond seeing just the physical. Amen?
Amen.
I got to find me an Oriental brother. This is John Yang. Great things come in small packages. I'm supposed to be intimidated by John because he's from the Far East where I don't speak the language. There are people that, there are a lot of people that look like John that live in this county. They're taking over Duluth. Look at the signs. I'm like, what is that? What are they advertising? I don't even know the language. Hey, they need to put that in English so I can understand. But you know what? He can reach those guys. You see, we all need it. We need each other. Because this county is full of all kinds of people. Are you with me? Do you see where I'm going with this? You know, if they're walking and they got two legs, you need to reach out to them. You shouldn't worry about the color of their skin or their culture. You see what I'm saying? I got a brother here. Okay? Bill is the brother I take places where when I know I'm going to get in trouble. He's a big fella. But you see, there's nothing to be intimidated by. If anything, if you get to know Bill, he's a teddy bear. He's one of the most gentle men that I know.
Except for when you get me on the court.
Okay.
Different guy.
But you see, looking at Bill from a distance, you go, whoa, look at that guy. I can't talk to him. And that may be the most open person you're going to meet that day. Amen. Have a seat. Do you see where I'm going with this church? You know, we're going to build this church, but it's going to be all kinds of people. Wait a second, I gotta find me an African. But I just stand up. He actually comes from the same country that I do. Okay? But again, there are a lot of Africans in this county. Lots of them. They need to get saved too. They live here now. Most of them are permanent residents and American citizens. He's an American citizen now. Amen? But those people need to be reached. All I'm saying is, church, we need to see beyond what we see physically and help people get to know God. Amen? I've been going to the gym. Let me show you something else. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to end here. Church is going to take a lot of prayer and it's going to take a lot of sacrifice. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 6, Paul writes, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Jump down to verse 12. It says, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Amen? You know, we give an offering and we give to the church not so that your preacher can live in some fancy house. Okay? That's not the case. For years, we gave money to missions so that people could go out and preach the word. And would you know that now there are more disciples outside of America than they are in America? That's awesome. But that came about as a result of your generosity. You know, I met Doug Weber's parents, his mom and dad. They're also Christians. They're members of the church in New York City. They're in their 80s. And Doug was introducing me. And Doug said, you know, Dad, you know, all these years, all the contribution you guys were taking up in New York, going to Africa, some of that money went to support Richard. And you should have seen the look in their eyes. Because that is true. Some of the money you gave many years ago came to me to support me so I could continue to preach the gospel. It's going to take the same sacrifice for us to reach this county for Jesus Christ. Amen? So, church, I want to appeal to you. You know, I don't know, I guess a couple of months ago, we gave out these pledge cards. Please live up to your pledge. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You pledge you're going to give a certain amount, give it. If you go out of town that week, the following week, you need to give it. You need to make it up. That's what I did this past week. Last week, we were off in Miami for our conference. What did I do with my poor contribution? I added it. Because it's not my money. Because I already pledged to give that money. Amen? It's going to take sacrifice. We need a campus minister and his wife to help us turn Gwinnett College upside down for Jesus. It's going to take money. We need more people on staff to do this on a full-time basis. Amen? If we had the money, I would tell Steve Galbraith and Alan Ross to quit their jobs and they would do this on a full-time basis. They're working hard. We have some full-time elders in some of our churches. But right now, we can't afford it. So it's going to take a lot of sacrifice. Amen? The reason why you're making the money you are is so that you can give it away so that other people can get to hear the gospel. That's the reason why you're making that money. Amen. You get to pay some bills with some of it. You get to enjoy some. You get to go on vacation with some of it. But that's okay. But remember, God has got to be number one. And he promises when he's number one, he will take care of everything else. Amen, church? WGFJ. Winning Gwinnett for Jesus. That's what we're talking about. Okay, oops. What happened? I'm trying to get back to my first page. Yeah, there it is. WGFJ. Winning Gwinnett for Jesus. Church, how about it? That's what I came here to do. Let's start praying. Let's start sacrificing. And God will do much more than we can ask or can even imagine. You will see it with your eyes in this lifetime. God will see to it. God bless you all.